Well, here we are in message number two on a subject that's not always easy to talk about, a subject that sometimes is shied away from because it's embarrassing or painful to talk about. But I'm glad that we can face this head on this morning and talk about sexuality. Last week we talked about fantasy and when fantasy looks fulfilling. If you didn't get that message, you need to get it. We also put in the bulletin this Sunday some help for those who have sexual addictions. And that information is available for you in the bulletin. You can grab a hold of that and make some phone calls. We have support groups and that kind of thing available for those who battle with that. Sexuality is a big deal. In our society today, it's a multi-million dollar business. And today we are going to focus in really on marriage and sexuality in marriage. If you are a single person, I do not want you to dial me out this morning, because I believe what we're talking about is very relevant, not just for marriages, but also for singles. And here's why. What I've learned is if you can start to apply biblical principles in your life as a single person, you will carry them right into your marriage. Right into your marriage. And so I encourage you to listen up. I talked to a single person today. I said, hey, was this relevant for your life? Absolutely, Pastor. It was great. And that was in the first service. So I encourage you to fasten your seatbelt, everybody, and get a hold of this. And again, it is a PG-13. So if you do need to have your kids leave, that's okay. We would appreciate that. If it's up to you. To get over the headache excuse, this husband came up with a great idea. You're already laughing. He went to bed, and before he goes to bed, he sees his wife in bed, and he brings her two Tylenol and a glass of water and says, here you go, honey. She goes, I don't have a headache. He goes, I gotcha. I like that. There are always different issues that come up in marriage and in the whole sexuality thing. It's crazy because there's a lot of confusion in our society today about marriage and monogamy. And there's actually even a website that's been developed called with a tagline called When Monogamy Becomes Monotony. And we carried that into our sermon series this morning. I just thought I would read for you a little bit about this dating service that I think is pretty appalling, but just to kind of give you, orient you a little bit on some of the confusion that's out there. Hector, 39, he's from Oxford, England, and he's looking for an intelligent and attractive person, not ashamed to enjoy her own body. Clive, 44, he runs his own consulting company in Greenwich, England, and would like a lady to wine and dine with possible extras. And then there's Sally, who's 36. She's a Londoner who wants someone to keep me on my toes and make my pulse race. Now, these people all have hopes and they all have aspirations. Their requests are really nothing out of the ordinary of what you would see on a dating website. But this particular website, of which I will not mention, is a little bit unusual. Because according to this article, and let me read it, members of this dating website are not looking to settle down because they are already settled. Almost all are married and have every intention of staying that way, but they are looking for something extra on the side, or as the front page blurb suggests, experiences that are stimulating, naughty, and fun at the same time. Launched with the tagline, When Monogamy Becomes Monotony in North America in January of 2002, the particular website now has more than 1.2 million members. It's pretty amazing to think that there is a website that's booming, that has become a multi-million dollar generating website that's geared towards married couples who have no intention of getting divorced or becoming unsettled, but have every intention of just somehow getting some little extra thing going on the side. As a matter of fact, one businessman from New York, when he went to this particular website, said, I'm not really looking for a escort. I'm not really looking for a prostitute. I want a nice girl who loves her husband. That's what he wanted. Nice girl who loves her husband. See, we live in a day and age where there's a lot of confusion about marriage. And there's a lot of misunderstanding. And there's a lot of devaluing of what marriage is and what God intended it to be. Marriage gets a bad rap in our society today. It gets a bad rap in media. It gets a bad rap in the locker room. It's implied, the implied message that we hear a lot of times is that singles that are hopping from one relationship to the next relationship, from one affair to the next affair, are somehow having the more fulfilled sex life, more fulfilled relationships. But it's interesting that the statistics say otherwise. There was a survey done of couples, of singles and of married couples that have been married 15 years or so. And that particular study showed that couples that were married for long periods of time had a greater and more satisfying sex life than those that were single and had been hopping from one relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship. Oh, surprise. The Word of God is right after all. Wow. But there is a truth that's unfortunate. Because there's a lot of marriages that have lost the spark. And they have become just like two people living together in the same home, but there's nothing else taking place there. It's like coexisting together under the same roof, but living individual lives. And the intention of those couples never was for it to be that way. It was never for it to turn that way. But after circumstance upon circumstance and pressure and this and that and everything else that adds into our lives, these two have become like two ships passing in the midnight. They don't have any clue about one another, and there's no more involvement. See, it takes hard work to keep a marriage alive and well. It takes hard work. And this morning what I want us to talk about is how to keep your marriage red hot. How to keep it red hot. So I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles in front of you, to page 629. Page 629, that is Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. The first way to keep your marriage red hot is important. Keep your love and sexual appetite directed exclusively towards your spouse. Don't drink from another fountain. All of your sexual energy, all of your sexual appetite, is to be directed towards your spouse and no one else. That's one of the first ingredients to having a red-hot marriage. Look what it says in verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone. Never to be shared with strangers. It's interesting that the image of water is used as a picture of sexual intimacy. Isn't that interesting? Water is used. And what the text is saying here is that the first thing that we are to do is to drink water. Married couples, start drinking. Boy, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But the text says, drink. Now, it's not often talked about, but there are a lot of sexless marriages or couples that do very little drinking from the waters. Very little drinking from the waters. Now, this word cistern, you may say, well, I've never heard that word cistern. Nobody uses that word anymore in our society. Okay, well, here's what a cistern is. It's a well. It's a source of life-giving water. It's a well that doesn't leak. It's a well that doesn't have mud and bacteria. It's a life-giving well. And what the comparison of the Proverbs writer is saying here is that your marriage, and specifically sexuality in your marriage, is like this life-giving well, this nutrients well. And you are to drink from it. You're not to go over here and drink from that well. You're not to go from this well. You're to drink from your own well. Not sharing it with others. God has created you as a sexual being, and He has created you with a sexual appetite. Listen to me. Sex is not bad. Many people said, sex, bad, 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 bad. Christians and sex, bad, don't go together. I'm like, wait a minute. Christians and sex, listen, Christians that are living in submission to God, married in covenant, have the best sex life. The best sex life, designed the way God designed it to be. So not bad, good, 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 okay? Now, the problem, though, in marriage is that we become not satisfied with our spouse. We lose that appetite towards our spouse, and we begin to drift, and that's a real temptation. But unfortunately, and there's a lot of reasons, but I want to focus in on one. When we eat or drink from another well, it's like eating or drinking junk food. We get ourselves involved in snacking on sexual junk food. And if you eat a lot of junk food, you're not going to have an appetite for the steak and the lobster that's over here. Because you've been over here chewing on chips and corn chips over here at the Blockbuster DVD place. You're not there to rent movies. You're just looking at all the stuff that's on the video covers. Or the billboards. Especially the ones that are portraying the Mexican novellas. Or the drinks, the sport drinks that always have these red hot girls, these girls that are abnormally beautiful, if there's such a thing. And it's there, and what happens is you snack on this, you snack on that. I mean, even the lady that's giving the weather on the Weather Channel you're having trouble with. Magazines, newspapers. Sears lingerie department. I don't know. These are battles. These are battles. And if you're over here spending all your time drinking this, drinking that, and let's get a little bit more intense, what about the pornography that's only a click away on your internet? What about the committed sex between two people? They're not married, though. What about sex between people of the same sex? Phone sex, imaginary sex, sex with a married person, sex in groups, sex alone. These are all wells. These are all mud puddles that only take away from what God has designed for you in your marriage. And it only will cause you to get a sick, empty stomach and never to be satisfied fully over here the way God has gifted you and intended it to be. The bottom line is never waste your sexual energy outside of your marriage. And that goes for singles too. Don't waste your sexual energy by yourself. Don't spill your life on the streets. Don't let strangers in to this special part of your life. See, The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 to 5, if you're a married couple, you need to highlight this one. Big yellow marks or red marks. Listen to what it says. The husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy. Husbands, stop being so proud and so arrogant and building up the walls and so angry and with such a hurtful spirit that you refuse to have sex with your wife. I can't believe that that's even in the Bible. I mean, it's amazing to me. And I'm amazed at couple after couple after couple that I've talked to who struggle in this area. Husbands, stop depriving your wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman. Nor should the wife deprive her husband. Same thing. Wives not giving of themselves to their husbands. The wife gives the wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. Well, I don't deprive my husband. We have sex, you know, once every 2 months. If you're having sex once a month or once every 2 months, believe me, you're depriving. I don't want to put a number on something because it's not always, everybody's different. But once a week doesn't hurt. At least once a week doesn't hurt. Okay. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. The only exception to this rule would be the agreement of both husband and wife to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so that they can give themselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, they should come together again. Why? So that Satan won't be able to tempt them because of their lack of self-control. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 to 5, the Apostle Paul. You want to abstain? You do it in agreement. Hey, we're going to abstain, and I want us to pray, and we're going to pray and fast, and it's going to be for 7 days here, and we're just going to seek the Lord, and then we're going to come back together. It's an agreement. Talk it out. It's none of this denying you, flipping on your back, showing your back to, you know, your spouse, and just none of this building walls between one another. No, all of your sexual energy needs to be poured towards your spouse. And for singles, I say this, you know, think about all your sexual energy. You know, you've been waiting for a long time. You've been single for a long time. You've been a Christian for a long time. You've been holding out, holding out, holding out, holding out. And every time those urges come, you take them and you surrender them to God and say, God, you're my husband. You know, God, you're my spouse. And I turn this over to you. This is a desire that you've given me, and it is good. And I thank you for it. And I refuse to drink from this well, and I refuse to drink from that well, and I refuse to give in over here. I refuse to visit the porno site. I refuse to flirt. I refuse to do this. And God, I'm saving myself for that one special person that you have given me. And I look forward to that day when I can give myself away with your blessing on this part of my life. And I'm holding out. I'm holding out. I ache for the young people in our society today that are Christians. When everybody else is involved in all kinds of sexuality. Oh, well, we're not having sex, but we have oral sex, but we're not having sex. Believe me, if you're having oral sex, you're having sex. If you're putting your hands where you shouldn't be, you're having sex. Okay, let's not try to draw the lines here. Look. You're going places where you shouldn't be going without the blessing of God. And if you want a red-hot marriage, all of your sexual energies need to be focused toward your spouse. Secondly, you need to learn to find enjoyment in each other no matter what your age. No matter what your age. Verse 18, may your fountain be blessed. And may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. If we were to reinterpret that, it would be saying it this way as a benediction, so to speak, as a blessing. May your sexual intimacy in marriage flow with the favor of God upon it. And that word blessed is a present imperative tense. And what that means is that may your fountain keep being blessed. You may find this hard to believe, but God wants to bless your sex life. Amen? God wants to bless your sex life. I believe that God is concerned and he's interested in blessing your marriage bed. Verse 18 talks about that. It indicates the blessing of God, and may it continually be blessed. So may your fountain continually be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. And that's another imperative command there. It's a command from God. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. It's like you don't have an option. You're commanded to rejoice in the wife of your youth. Well, you say, I don't have a wife of my youth anymore. I don't have a youthful wife anymore. Okay, that's not an excuse for you to say, well, I'm going to find a younger wife or a mistress or whatever. No. What it's talking about here is to keep that fan flamed that you felt and you experienced when you were first introduced to one another, and it was like lightning when you met. And when you first held hands, it was like a shock. It was so, and that's, it's to keep that flame fanned. Keep the embers burning. Keep it going. Continue to rejoice in the wife of your youth. Begin to enjoy one another. I look at this thing of enjoyment is really a huge deal. I think we've lost it. I one of the things that I love about being married is the companionship side of being married. To have a friend. To just have a buddy, you know, that I can laugh with and I can do goofy things with, you know. There's times sometimes I'll chase my wife around the kitchen. I didn't know if I was going to say there now, but I'll tell you. And we play chase, you know, and we have this island, and I chase her around, you know, and she lets me catch her because she knows if I keep running, I'll have a heart attack because I'm so out of shape, you know. And so she's fast, and she's in better shape than I am. And then we laugh and have a good time and give her a hug and kiss her neck, and it's just, you know, one of our favorite times is to grab a cup of coffee and just sit out on the porch and smell the grass and hear the birds and say, oh, there's a cardinal or whatever. And just, I don't know. It's not always about the sex, gentlemen. As a matter of fact, your wife's more turned on about drinking coffee with you than she is really getting about into bed, buddy. Just wake up on that one. I just love the idea of going on walks with my wife. I love to have the gut laughs with my wife where you're laughing so hard that, you know, your stomach hurts and it's just so funny and, you know, just those kind of things, you know. And here's the problem, though. Life has a way of wearing down, and you have kids and you have bills and you have responsibilities and you have disappointments and you get offended and you get hurt and all these different things just kind of add on, and sometimes they just pour on. And it's hard to get out from under that. That's why we need to be intentional about enjoying one another and be intentional about today we will go to breakfast. And you know what? We're going to have bacon and blueberry pancakes and sausage, and we're just going to hound down and forget about diets. We're going to enjoy this. It's going to be a great time talking. I'm not going to breakfast with my wife and have a little wimpy muffin. You know? I'm having the deal, man. You know, I'm eating. And just enjoy one another and have those special secret places. And this is how we keep the fan. This is how we keep it red hot. But I want you to fasten your seatbelts now because we're going into the third point. And the third point is discover satisfaction in each other's physical affection and intimacy. Discover satisfaction in each other's intimacy physically. Now look at verse 19. A loving doe, a graceful deer. Let me get a drink of water here. I want to say the next one clearly. A loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. That's in the Bible? That can't be the Bible. May her breasts satisfy you always. I thought you were Christians over there. I didn't write this. I mean, God wrote this, okay? I remember when I first read that, when I was a new baby Christian, I was 17, I was reading Proverbs, that was the deal. We'd have lunch and then read a Proverbs. I was working with some construction guys, and I remember when I first read it, they all knew they were Christians for a while, and they all knew that verse was coming, and I didn't. And I'm the one reading it. And when I read it, I was shocked. Everybody's laughing at me, you know. I know a couple guys, they've adopted this verse as their life verse, you know. They carry it in their pocket, you know. It's like they memorize this one. It's like their life verse, you know. Look. Why are married couples not satisfied with each other sexually and intimately? What is that? I think a lot of it has to go back to the junk food. You're satisfying, trying to satisfy yourself outside of that. You have your own little sex life going on. Your own little thing going on. And then you wonder why you're not satisfied in your marriage sexually. Well, let's take a look at that word satisfied. Verse 19 says, may her breasts satisfy you always. That word satisfied literally means intoxicated with wine. In other words, the idea is for someone to be filled, to overflowing. The idea is that the husband be totally intoxicated and his passion and his desire is for his wife. He's intoxicated, he's filled, his passion is all there and it's filled and it's for and towards his wife. Let her be the one that satisfies all that that's within you. All that is there. She is there. She is God given to you as a gift and to be satisfied. And we need to work at learning to be satisfied and learning to satisfy. We need to learn. And I believe the less junk food in the diet, the more satisfaction you'll find in your marriage and the more ability you'll have to satisfy. Now, I need to have a talk this morning with you men, because we need to understand that women are totally wired differently than we are. Men, listen. Women need nurturing and emotional connection to be satisfied sexually. Their sexual needs do not begin in the bedroom, and their sexual needs do not end there. Your wife is determining her level of sexual interest the moment you come home from work. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say it starts earlier than that. If you want to have a romantic evening, it starts when you wake up at breakfast time. And if you're grumpy old bear, and then you come home and it's like, you say, oh, hon, and you're really happy for 5 minutes and you're really sweet for 5 minutes. Trust me, you're deluding yourself. It doesn't work that way. It's amazing, but you know, you can have the historical argument of your marriage. It could be the most nasty argument. And you know what? 5 minutes later, husband, you're ready for sex. You're like, yeah, let's go. You know? And your wife's like saying, are you an idiot? I am like so disconnected from you right now. I don't even want to see your face. I don't just get out of my face. But honey, I'm sorry. So you never forgive and blah. Oh my goodness. Men, pursue your wife every day. If she feels special in your eyes, if she feels special in your eyes, believe me, she will also feel more sexy as well. If she's special in your eyes, believe me, she will feel more sexy as well. But we forget that. I always like to say sex begins in the kitchen. It begins by you washing the dishes. It begins by you maybe lighting the candle in the morning before you go to work and then leave for work. It's like, whoa, some message there, you know. Maybe it's you making the coffee. You know, I don't, it's you listening. It's you empathizing. It's you saying, I'm taking time out of my busy schedule to listen to you. And you can talk, and I'm not going to be looking over here and over there and looking at my watch and thinking and tapping my fingers. I'm going to be looking and listening and emphasizing and pretending that I'm understanding now. But I'm going to be, you know, I'm there and I'm connected. And I'm here, and we're and this is part of the thing, you know. This is part of the relationship, and it may never culminate in a sexual thing, but it's part of who we are as a couple. And I understand that as a wife, you're this way. Now, women, guys are totally different. Guys are visually stimulated. You can write a squiggly line on a piece of paper and turn a guy on. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But that's how we're made, okay? And if all you guys say, "No, it's not me," quit lying, okay? Listen, men need response. They need participation. They don't need this kind of attitude. I'm going to fulfill my duty, 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to have sex today. Okay, fulfill my duty. Done yet? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, what's up with that? You know what a man needs? Listen to me, ladies. When you seek to turn your husband on, you're giving him a gift. You're giving him a gift. You know, surprise your husband. You know, just, you know, take some initiation sometimes. Participate. You know, show him that you're interested. Show him that you're enjoying this. You know? Men are different. Women are different. But I think if we can understand this, we will have a lot healthier sex lives. A lot healthier. And then allow yourself to be captivated by your spouse's love. It says this in the text, may you ever be captivated by her love. Now that word captivated is translated to be led away, to be enticed, to be lured by her love. Let her love draw you into intimacy. Let her love, that beauty, that wonderful beauty of your wife that loves you, of your husband that loves you, and to be wooed into that, to be enticed, to be lured. The one time where it's okay to be enticed, the one time where it's okay to be lured, the one time where it's okay to be carried away is when your wife is there and is ready and you're captivated by it and it's there and your husband and there's this beautiful thing going on. It says here, may you ever be captivated by her love. This being carried away. Now here's the problem. Many of us have so much baggage in our relationships that we can't be carried away. And we're trying to go into this intimate thing, and we have a suitcase of bitterness here, we have unforgiveness there, and we have all these suitcases, we got boots on, and we're trying to give somebody a hug. Did you ever try to give somebody a hug when you have all this luggage under your arms and you got it in your hands and you're carrying all this stuff, and then you're trying to carry that into the marriage bed? Did I want to come in? Here I come, but I got all my luggage with me. I tried to bring it in with me. How can we have intimacy with that kind of thing? Here's the thing. We need to let go of all the hurt feelings, the resentments. Listen to me. You will be hurt in marriage. You will be disappointed. You will need to express forgiveness. You will need to release. You cannot carry luggage and baggage with you into a marriage, especially in the intimate side. As a matter of fact, intimacy, in my opinion, is really the thermostat as to how a marriage is going. I can tell you if a marriage is healthy by how often they have sex. It's a thermostat. And if you're carrying all this junk, you're not going to be able to function the way you should be. And what God wants us to do is to be a people that release the bags, that release the resentment, that release the unforgiveness, that release the anger, that release the pride, that break down the walls and allow this captivation to occur between one another. Until those walls are broken, there will never be the kind of intimacy that your marriage was designed to have. And it takes a decision on your part. I've seen marriages where there has been adultery committed, but have survived. Why? Because there's been a determination to say, I forgive, we forgive. It's not easy. There's a continual breaking the wall down. There's consequences always to that kind of thing when it happens. But you know what? Marriages, by the grace of God, have stayed together. There is hope. But it's a constant practice of saying, I will tear down the wall and not resurface things all the time. It's interesting. But in verse 21, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. God examines exactly what you're doing. He knows what's going on. He's acquainted with all your ways. He knows what's taking place in your life. And we need to live our lives in accordance to him. Now let me wrap this up by reading 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5. God wants you to be holy and to stay away from sexual sins. He wants each of you to learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Don't use your body for sexual sin like the people who do not know God. So let me make this clear. If you're married and you're running to this mud puddle and that mud puddle and you're not drinking from your own cistern, then you're in sin. If you're married and you're depriving one another of sexual intimacy, you're in sin. If you're single and you're not married and you've not walked down the aisle and you're having sexual intercourse or sex of any kind, fornication, whatever it is, you are in sin. And you cannot expect the blessing of God to be upon your life and upon your future marriage and upon the generations to come from your loins. And so make a decision this morning. There are couples here that have never invited the designer of marriage into their life. How can you experience God's design for sex if you've never invited the designer of marriage and sex into your life? This morning needs to be the morning where you say, I trust God. I believe in Jesus Christ's death on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. We as a couple, we want Christ in our marriage. We want Christ in our lives. And we're willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. I'm a single person this morning, and I've been battling with giving in to lust, and I've been pouring myself out from other things, and I have my own private little thing going on that nobody really knows about. And I'm a single woman, but I've been flirting a little bit, and I've been entertaining some flirting things going on at the work site. But you know what? This morning I need to sever that in Jesus' name and wait for God's promised person for my life, to wait for God's best. And so what I'm saying this morning is, will you make a decision? Will you make a decision? I'd like us all to stand together. If you are next to your spouse, if you're married, I want you to hold your spouse's hand. I want you to hold your spouse's hand. If you're single, single woman, single man, I want you in your mind right now to state to the Lord this statement: you are my spouse, God. You are the love of my life. You are my portion, God. You are my portion. you're holding the hand of your husband or holding the hand of your wife, I want to say that the person's hand that you're holding that is your spouse is God's gift to you. God's special gift. And your marriage needs to be a marriage that's mixed with love and forgiveness, release, an intentionality that says we will cultivate this relationship, we will cultivate our marriage, we will learn to enjoy one another once again, we'll take time out to just drink a cup of coffee together, to go to breakfast, to escape and not let anybody know where we're at, to go to our special place and just to talk and be friends. I will not allow us as a married couple to bring any other idol into this marriage. We will not take this part of our marriage and open it up to strangers who could care less about us, who could care less about our kids. We will not allow that. So I pray that the decisions that are made here this morning, God, that you would seal them with your anointed oil from above, God, that brings healing and wholeness and barricades every marriage into that holy sanctuary where it belongs and where it was designed to be. Every single person that's fallen and failed over and over and over and over again, oh Spirit of the living God, bring them hope this morning. Let them know that there is strength and there is hope and there is a new beginning in God through Jesus Christ, and that the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Come before the Lord this morning. Kneel before Him at this altar and allow Him to pour His life into you and satisfy your deepest longings.